The book of Galatians is all about the gospel, what it is and what it isn't. Once you understand those gospel things, you'll make smarter moves. It changes the game.
Hey, Grace Church, how you doing today? Glad you're here today, especially on spring break. And I just have something to admit to you before I start today. I'm a little grumpy because my bracket got broken here this yesterday. And so just a little testy. So if it comes across that way, just say, hey, he just got his bracket broken. Okay, is that a deal? All right. So let's pray and let's just get started today. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your great grace, your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for, Lord, everything that you do for us, God. Thank you not only for what you do for us, but for who you are, that you are the creator, the redeemer, the sustainer of our lives, God. And I pray, God, earnestly, that you'll take my words and use them for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen. So today, we're going to talk about the amazing implications of what it means to be a child of God. Now, for those of you that have been with us for a while, don't tune me out and say, oh, you know, I've heard that over and over and over again, because I think there's some new things, some fresh things for you as you stretch into God, for you to learn about the implications of what it actually means to have God call you his son or his daughter. And if you're brand new with us today, I hope and pray that I just want you to know right from the very beginning that our purpose for you is to help you take steps closer to Jesus. If we can just do that, that's our hope and prayer, is that God would use us somehow in your life to help us, help you just kind of figure out this Jesus thing and in your life. Is that a deal? And so we're going to start in the book of Galatians. That's where we are today. We're going to start in Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 26. So if you have a mobile device or if you actually brought this thing called a Bible, you're welcome to turn there to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. And we're going to start with this statement. And then we're just going to kind of see where it leads us. So here's what it says. For you all are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That sounds simple, but let me just kind of break that apart. So let me tell you exactly what that means. That means, listen carefully, that if you do not have faith in Jesus Christ, that you are not a child of God. You know, there is a theology in our culture that every one of us are children of God. And I'm just going to tell you, that is not what the Bible says. We are all creations of God. You are created in the image of God. And that is an amazing thing. But you are not a child of God until you have a decision from your heart to believe on him whom God has sent. That is Jesus of Nazareth. So that is so important for you to understand, that you are a child of God when you step over that line of faith and believe on him whom God has sent. And I say that because a lot of people in our culture just believe, you know, I hear it all the time, well, aren't we all children of God? And the answer to that question is no, we're not. And I know I'm a little testy this morning because my bracket was broken, but I'm just telling you the truth. The fact is that that is not the case, that we are not all children of God, except for those of us that have a faith system in Jesus, and that is an amazing thing. Think about it this way. Isn't it amazing that God would call you his child? I mean, you should be blown away by the implications of what it means when God calls you his child. So with that as the backdrop, we're going to drop down into Galatians chapter 4. That's where we're going to spend our time together this morning, in Galatians chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse number 4, and I don't want you to miss any of this as well. Galatians 4:4 says this, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Stop there. Let that soak in for just a second. That we might be adopted into God's family, in other words. Because you are his sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Take note of those two words that are put together. We'll come back to that in just a minute. And then here's what I want to camp on today for just a few minutes of your time, because this is worth the price of admission here today. This is what it says. So you are no longer a slave.
So the implication of this text is simply this: don't miss it, don't misunderstand it, until you cross that line of Jesus Christ and believe on him whom God has sent, you are still a slave. You are a slave to self and to sin and to this world. And you cannot be set free until the one who is the Redeemer sets you free. So y'all with me so far? You understand what I'm saying here? So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. God did not stop at just setting us free and allowing us to be living in his kingdom. But God now declares by his own name that you and I now are heirs of all that he possesses. We are heirs. That is so amazing. A lady preparing to cash her husband's check was downstairs. Her husband was upstairs. She realized that he had not signed it yet. So she sent her four-year-old daughter up the stairs to get daddy to sign the check. Here's a pen. Here's a check. Get daddy to sign the check. Come back down. And so the little girl ran up and just about 30 seconds later came running back down. And she said, and mom said, hey, did you find dad and did he sign the check? And the little girl said, no, mommy, I didn't need to. I already know his name, so I just signed it for him. So she turns over the check, and it's signed D-A-D-D-Y, Daddy. I mean, that's his name, right? I mean, that's a cute story, but the truth is that that's our story. That's our story, that God has endorsed us and that he has set us free, that we are now free to be called children of God, which means now God takes responsibility for my life. He now takes responsibility for who I am, where I go. He's the outcomer. He's the one. I just have to surrender to him, but he's the one that produces the results inside of my life because he is my Father who is in heaven. So let's go back to that verse. So you are no longer a slave. Say that with me. No longer a slave. One more time. No longer a slave. That is so powerful. But God's child, and since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So we tend to focus on who we are and what we have done, but I contend that we should focus on whose we are. When you begin to understand who owns us and who we belong to, that's the game changer in our life. We live in an era when there's all sorts of self-help books out there, how to improve your life, how to do this, how to do that. But the truth is that what marks my life and your life out as special isn't what I accomplish, it's who I belong to. I'm a child of the living God by faith in Jesus Christ. Such a simple but yet profound truth that you and I could spend a lifetime and not understand all of the implications of what that means. So let's just take it a step further. And here's what I want to suggest to you. A slave has a master, a son has a father. That's the first implication. A slave has a master, but a son has a father. So important for us to hear that. Romans 8:15 says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful as slaves. Instead, you receive God's spirit when he adopted you into his own as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. There's that phrase again. Now we call him Abba Father. Now there's some controversy that surrounds these two words that are together. But what I want to suggest to you is that these words, that word Abba is a word of familiarity. It's a word that goes beyond just the technical aspects of God being our Father. Now, what I want you to hear me say is this. I'm going to say some things that are pretty raw today, and they're going to be, hopefully helpful to you along the way. And I want to start, before I say any of those things, I want you to understand that I understand that God is holy, and he's the creator of everything, that he is my all in all. But what I want to suggest is listen to this very carefully, is God in his humility, did you know that God had humility? God in humility bowed low so that I could be related to him. He, in this humility, God bowed down to me, down to my level, and so that I could come to his level. And that's the context of these passages. And we now, because of that, have the ability to call out to God in a familiar way as our dad, as our daddy, as our this God that is so powerful. For his spirit joins with our spirits to affirm that we are God's children. The moment I get saved, God sends his spirit into my life, and God's spirit is speaking loudly and clearly and very precisely that I am now his child. If you're not hearing that, then you're not hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to you, because that's what the Bible says the Spirit of God says, cries out inside of us that we are his children. That is so amazing. And since we are his children, we are, here we go again, this is that same word again, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. Now think about that for just a second. And I'm just gonna say, you and I, when it says that we are heirs of God's glory, what in the world does that mean? And I'm gonna tell you, I don't know, because I have never seen God face to face. I don't understand what that means, but here's what I do know. I'm not gonna tell you what I don't know, I'm gonna tell you what I do know. It's beyond my comprehension what God is gonna give to me in the age to come. It's beyond my comprehension, beyond my ability to comprehend what God is going to do for those who have crossed that line of faith and actually have a faith system with God. So, I mean, are you getting this? I mean, are you beginning to absorb some of this? That this is pretty important to God for us to understand this sonship, this adoption, that that he stooped low and he dragged me out of the dirt and pulled me into his kingdom, calls me by my name, calls me his son, gives me all the inheritance that is his to give. That's what this verse says, and pretty amazing. There's an author by the name of Shea Serrano, and this kind of describes who God is a little bit. So he broke down on the freeway. He was driving on the freeway, broke down, and couldn't figure out what was wrong. And so finally he called a tow truck and had his car towed to his house. Tried to figure out what was going on there, couldn't figure it out. So his dad, who was a great mechanic, he decided, well, I'm going to give my dad a call and see if he could help me figure out on the phone what's going on. So he called his dad, and his dad, who was a bus driver in a city about 215 miles away, picks up the phone, picks up his cell phone, talks to him, and says, well, I haven't finished my shift yet, but as soon as I finish my shift, he was on a 10-hour shift, as soon as I finish my shift, I'll just drive up there, and I'll see if I can figure out what's going on. So he finished his shift. He drives up to where his son's car was, and he gets out of his, gets his tools, walks up, pops the hood, fiddles around for about 30 seconds under the hood, and he shuts the hood, walks back to his car, and his son says, well, what's wrong, Dad? I mean, is 30 seconds? I mean, it's got to be more than that. And he said, son, you're out of gas. I mean, how embarrassing is that? His dad drives 215 miles one way to tell his son, you're out of gas. And then they have dinner together, and Shay basically says in his book, he says, my father never mentioned it ever again. He didn't mention it during dinner, and he said it's been 9 years as he's writing the book. He says it's been 9 years since that incident, and my father has never mentioned once about that embarrassing issue that happened between him and me. Isn't that how God works in our life? I mean, we are all out of gas. We are. We're broken down. We don't have the energy. We don't have the power. We don't have the, whatever it takes to do this life. And God, opens the hood and says, listen, what you need is my spirit in your life. And the only way you can have my spirit is through my son, Jesus. And so he gives us his son, gives us his spirit. And the truth is that he never, ever, ever mentions again how broken I really was. He's my father. He's my dad. He's my dad in heaven. And when you begin to understand that, it's a game changer in that it changes everything about this life. J.I. Packer says this. He's a great theologian, and this is what he says. He writes a book called Knowing God, and he says, if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his father. He goes on and he writes this. It is not the thought that if that is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means that he does not understand Christianity very well at all. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. When you don't get that, when you don't understand the relationship you have to God as a father-son relationship, then what happens is that all you have left after that is religion. You're just going through the motions of, you know, certain duties and laws and traditions and whatever else you have. You're just going through all the motions of the Christian life, but you don't have the inner guts of what the Christian life is all about. When you get that this thing boils down to a father-son relationship between you and God, when it boils down to that and you get that, it changes everything. And I'm, you know, since my bracket was broken and, you know, I'm a little off today, and I might as well just make everyone here mad so you can join me in that process. I'm just going to say, you know, every week I watch some of you walk in and you know, we have this amazing worship team that comes up here and, you know, and sings beautifully. It sings almost as good as I can. And I'm just kidding. That was just a joke. And I see some of you out there with your arms folded and you're just staring at the screen. You're going, and I'm going, this is what I'm thinking. I'm sorry if it makes you mad. I'm thinking, what are you thinking? What in the world are you thinking? You, if you have crossed that line of faith, have this relationship between the Father and you, and it's brought about by Jesus, the Son of God. And outside of that, you have nothing. And if I were, you know, I'm just saying, come on, good night. This is something to get excited about, right? This is something to cry out to God and worship God over. This is something to surrender my life to and to live on purpose and to stop living for what the world has for me and start living for what God has for me. I mean, this is a game changer. It is. When you understand the nature of how this relationship works, that now you have the ability to crawl up into your Father's lap and whisper in his ear anything you want to whisper, and he hears and wants to hear what you have to say. That, my friend, is so humbling and mind-blowing that I just can't hardly contain myself when I think about that. Let's think about this. A slave, we're talking about being set free. A slave is an employee. A son is an heir. H-E-I-R, by the way, not error, it's heir. I want to make sure you hear me saying what I'm saying. A slave is an employee, a son is an heir. A young man asked an old rich guy how he had made his money. And so this guy had lived during the Great Depression. He said, well, it was in 1932 and it was the Great Depression. So I went and I took a nickel out of my allowance and I bought an apple. That is not the Apple store, that's a literal fruit. Just to be clear in the age we live that when we talk apple, it doesn't necessarily mean your computer, okay? Just so you get that. So he takes this apple, he takes all day, and he shines this apple. And at the end of the day, he sells the apple for 10 cents. Buys it for 5, sells it for 10. So he's got a pretty good profit margin going on here, right? So then he buys a couple more apples for that money, and he shines them up, and pretty soon after a couple months, he's saved up $3.50 out of all this labor and work, and then he says, and then after that, my mother's father died, and we inherited $10 million. So isn't that our story? We strive and we labor, and the truth is that we are the recipients of being of this treasure that God has for you and I. It's treasure. And it's all ours. We are co-regents with Jesus, and we are heirs of all that the Father possesses. And when you begin to understand that, if that doesn't change your life, you, my friend, probably don't have a pulse. You just don't. I mean, to understand that all that the Father has, this is the God who creates everything, offers you a position in the family with all of its privileges. With all of its privileges. And when you begin to have the lights come on and that becomes a reality to you, I'm just going to tell you, it is life-changing, life-altering, and the only proper response to that is a sense of surrender to this living God. And I hope and pray that you have surrendered. So, one more thought here. A slave is driven by duty. It's what I have to do.
A son is driven by devotion. So let me say that to you one more time. A slave is driven by duty. A son is driven by devotion. So there was an old story about a mother who walks into her son's room and he's crying. And she says, "Son, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's going on here? Why are you crying?" And he looks up with crocodile tears and he says, "I've learned to tie my shoes." And his mom is thinking, "Well, that's awesome." You know, so she says, "Well, why would you cry? Because you learned to tie your shoes." And he looks up at her and says, "Because now I just recognize that I'm going to have to do it the rest of my life." So that's the difference between devotion and duty. When you think about the concept, so if the Christian life is a pain for you, as opposed to a devotion, there's something broken inside. There's something that you're not connecting with in terms of what genuine Christianity is all about. So because I've been now adopted by my Father in heaven and I am a son, I can now see God as my loving Father. So this passage in Matthew, we're going to go from Paul's words to Jesus' words now. This is what Jesus says. He says, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone?" And there's an obvious answer there. "Or if he asks for you a fish, will you give him a snake? If then you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Now I have this relationship with God as an adopted son that I can expect that God will give me good gifts. You all remember Michael Jordan. Some of you maybe not because you're younger here, but Michael Jordan is probably one of the best basketball players of all time. You know, he was amazing, wealthy man. And here's what you probably don't know about Michael Jordan is that he had some insecurities. And so right before his father died, he did an interview with a sportscaster, and in this interview, he simply said this: I don't care what my coaches say to me, I don't care what my teammates say to me, they have little effect on my life. He said, "But every time I go out and play a game, I walk out, I look into the stands, and I don't play until I see my father." Just seeing his father sitting in the stands is what gave him the power to be this amazing athlete. You see the power of a father-son relationship. If that is true, how much more is it true of our Father who is in heaven? Now, because of whose I am, if that's true, I can now approach God through a relationship and not rules. So let me unpack that with you for just a few minutes. Let me start by asking you a question. How many of you used to call your dad daddy? You know, raise your hand, just okay. There's a lot of you in here, I'm surprised. I didn't. And I'm going to tell you my story, and I'm going to tell you why it's handicapped me as a Christian. So my dad was born to his mother when she was 53 years old. And he had 12 brothers and sisters. And so my dad's brothers and sisters raised him, for the most part, raised him. And so he had this kind of this disjointed, dysfunctional family life going on. And so he gets married to my mom, and you know, voila, I come along. And although I am this beautiful baby, let me say that to you one more time, because you thought I was joking right now. I don't know, what that is. Even though I was this beautiful baby, my dad did not know how to connect to me as a child. Now, don't get me wrong. My dad, when I turned 9, 10 years old, my dad was the bomb. He was great. I mean, he took me hunting and fishing and was active in my life and did all sorts of amazing things. Every time I played sports, he was in the stands. I mean, that's the kind of dad he was. He was loyal. I mean, one time I was working this job. I happened to work for him. He was the manager, the manager of this big corporation, and I happened to be one of the people that worked in the corporation. And I was in college, and I wanted to go out for New Year's Eve, and my dad knew it, but I had a shift that I had to cover. And so I was about 9 o'clock one night, my dad shows up and he's in coveralls. I mean, he has hundreds and hundreds of employees. He shows up and he's in coveralls, and he says, "Hey, I'll take your shift. Go have fun." That was the kind of dad that he was. But as a child growing up, he never got on the floor with me and played games with me. I don't ever ever remember him playing games with me, or I don't ever remember the relationship where I could crawl on his lap or that he would hold me. It wasn't that kind of relationship. And as a result, as I came to faith in Jesus Christ, when I came to faith in Jesus Christ, I had a very difficult time relating to God who offered me the opportunity to call him Abba, to sit in his lap and whisper in his ear and to tell him I love him that wasn't the kind of relationship that I had with God. And it wasn't until the Holy Spirit began to instruct me and teach me and lead me where I could then have this intimacy with God. And I suspect that there's some of you that are relating to what I'm saying. I suspect that there are people here right now that have a hard time when I say calling God Daddy. Some of you cringe at that. You pull back because that's not the relationship that you have with your Father in heaven. You have more of a relationship that's based upon rules and traditions, and you do this and God blesses, and you don't do this and God blesses. And I'm just going to say, when I was growing up, I had a fear-based relationship with my Father. I did. He never abused me. I mean, it's the truth. He never abused me. But I can remember growing up thinking I'd rather have him at the office. When I was 8 years old, I'd rather have him at the office than at home, because it was all about the rules. And as a result, when I came to Christ, it was hard for me. God had to take me kind of through a knothole to teach me. It was hard for me to crawl into my Father's lap and say, Daddy, to him. I need you. And if that's the case, I would just stop right now and ask you to think about just stopping right now and saying, God, would you teach me to call you Daddy? Would you teach me to do that? Would you teach me what that means? Because if you don't, your choice is, you can go all through this life, but your choice is going to cost you greatly if you don't learn to have this intimate relationship between a father and a son, a relationship of dependence and trust and beauty and secrets, all sorts of great things. I mean, I'm telling you, you're going to miss out if you don't learn how to call God Daddy. And I hope and pray that you can hear what I'm saying. I can now, because I've learned to do that, I can now give God my whole heart. Before I couldn't. I didn't know what it was to give my heart. I knew what it was to give my mind, but I didn't know what it was to give my whole heart. And I can do this because, as a loving Father, he has proven his love towards me over and over and over again. There's a passage in the book of Jeremiah that I want to end with today. And you're going to have to listen to this because I'm not going to put it on the screen. Jeremiah chapter number 29. Jeremiah is one of my Old Testament favorite books. In Jeremiah chapter number 29, this is what it says. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Not your mind. I mean, that's an important element. I'm not saying put your mind, over here. What I'm saying is that when you begin to seek God as your Father, that which is broken is repaired. That's where healing begins, my friend. If you're looking for healing, healing begins in this Father-Son relationship. And it's the most powerful thing in the world. It is life-changing, life-altering. It's where healing begins in your life. And if you want healing of any kind, I'm telling you, if you bypass this step, probably not going to happen. He says, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I'll be found by you. And those who are found by him, well, those who are found by God, and I'm just going to tell you, it's a place where you're never the same. You're just not. And as a result, because of this journey that I've been on, I am no longer a slave. I can stand before you today, and those of you watching by podcast, I can tell you that, listen to me carefully, I am no longer a slave. Can you say that? I am no longer a slave. That is the most beautiful picture in all the world that you and I can live as free people, no longer bound by our insecurities or our sin or our failures or our excuses. We can just be who we are, and we can be loved like a father loves his children. We can just be loved in the moment. And there is nothing more powerful than that kind of healing. And I'm telling you, if I could force you into believing that, I would, but I can't. But all I can do is offer it to you and say, would you choose to have a father-son relationship instead of just a stoic relationship, just this God who's distant? Start naming him as your personal father. Lord God, thank you, thank you, thank you for this great truth. And I pray that, God, that you would take my words and use them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.